Well, good evening to everyone tonight, and kind of a rainy day, but it's okay. We'll get through it, right? We'll get through it. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 tonight, and if I was asked you where you were born, most of us would have a different place than most of us, right? We would be different than everyone else, and the majority of us even in this town of Huntington, there are probably. Let's just do it this real quick. Who was born in Huntington? Okay, so yeah, and the rest of us, we born somewhere else, right? So we all have a different birthplace. Most of us, and so even when you go to a city or a town, doesn't mean everybody there was born there. And one thing I noticed is all the way back from the beginning. If you look into the 11th chapter of of Genesis, you'll see a city called the Tower of Babel. And since then, every place where people would gather, they would put a name to it and call it a city or a town. And we begin to have these cities and towns. But I believe that city and towns are important to God. I believe they're important because people live there. And from the beginning, through God's Word, we begin to see that there every town and every city seems to be different. As a matter of fact, later on in life, we find out in the New Testament, somebody says, could there anything, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. You remember that? Nothing good ever comes out of, have you ever heard of a town like that? Nothing ever comes good out of this area or that city or that town. In fact, people might even say that with the city of Nineveh, when God called Jonah to go to the people of Nineveh to preach and to teach them and to preach them to repent because God's going to destroy. And what we find out here, I like the story of that because what we see is actually we see people listening to the preaching. And they repented and they went into fasting and all the things that they did. And God did not destroy them at that time. And so we see that God loves people. He loves people. And the world is full of lost people. Y'all know that, right? Because we were one as well, but how does people come to know Christ without someone else sharing the gospel? So we have to learn to share the gospel. We have to be, as we said this morning, it's through the Holy Spirit that we can do things and we'll be able to accomplish things. And there was a time that we don't read much about this because we think when Jesus is walking on the face of the earth, he's doing all this awesome ministries and miracles and teachings and making people's heads spin all around. He's upsetting people because they just can't figure it out. And so he's doing teachings and healings and all kinds of things. And he's really discipling these disciples. He's trying to train these guys up because they don't realize it yet, but they're going to be the new leaders. And he's going to die, but he's going to resurrect. He's going to go to the Father, and he's going to sit right next to God. He's going to intercede. And these guys are going to be the ones sharing the gospel. It's been turned over to these. But there's a group of people that we sometimes forget. So let's look here. We're going to see this part here where Jesus sends out 70 people. Now, in ministry, did you know this? You got to be really, really honest with yourself. I mean, I'm going to ask you to be really honest for a minute, okay? Really honest. Have you ever got jealous of somebody else doing ministry that you were doing? And it seemed like they were getting better results than you. And they may not even have put as much work into it as you, at least that's what you're seeing. And so we see some of that even with us today, that we struggle with some of this. The disciples struggled with some of that. They struggled with some of the stuff with jealousies and those kind of things. But we're going to look at a piece here where Jesus, he appoints 70 other people. He's going to send them out two by twos. And that's going to be how many teams? About 35, right? So 35 teams. Could you imagine going to go out and share the gospel, going to go out and do some healings and all that? 35. It's a 0 to 35. Whoosh. That's going to make an impact, you think, right? Let's check it out. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. So he sends them in front of him, okay? Not behind him, but in front of him. How many of y'all got good news that you want to share and you want to be the one to say it? How would you like to sit everybody else and they can sit and they can share the good news. They can do all the cool miracles and all this. And Jesus is going to come right behind them. But how many of us would not we want to be in the front? We struggle in ministry with jealousies in the church. We really do. But so he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he told them this. This is what he told them right off the bat. He says, the harvest is abundant, okay? It's ready. But the workers are few. Now, we all have said, boy, where is this person? How come they didn't show up for this? How come they didn't show up for that? I need help. Where's my help? I need help doing ministry. The Lord called me to do ministry. Where is my help? Jesus already told us that the harvest is ready. That means it is ready, right? It is abundant. It's ready. It's ready to go. But he says the workers are going to be few. There's going to be few workers. Now, we have a problem because we know there's a lot of work to do and we need workers to do it, right? Okay? And people have told me, if you have bigger churches, it doesn't mean that you have less problems. You have more problems, but I think that can go either way. But he tells us how to work through it. And this is what I love about Scripture. God tells us if there's a problem, you know what? Scripture usually tells us how to work through it. Amen? If we got an obstacle in front of us and we're standing at it and we can't move that wall, God usually tells us how we can get through it, how to get around it, how to walk through it, how to move it, whatever. He's going to do the same thing here in Scripture. So guess what? Learning Scripture is awesome. Knowing Scripture is awesome. Memorizing Scripture is awesome. But you know what? When you experience it, it is amazing. Awesome. Okay? I'm going to explain that for you. He says this. The harvest is ready and abundant, but the workers are few. He says, therefore, this is how you experience it. He tells us to pray. That's the action part. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest belongs to him, right? And he says, to send out workers into the harvest, to workers into the harvest. This also works into our churches as well, that we pray when we need people to step up, that we pray, and then that God's going to move on the hearts of people. Listen, if you complain about the church, God's not going to move on helping you do what you need. Listen, we need to be careful when we talk bad about the church because God loves us, Jesus died for us, and he filled us with the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful. There's no perfect church, there's no perfect pastor, no perfect pastor's wife, no perfect program, no perfect anyone. We are all kind of messy, but we're trying to do it. We're trying to make an attempt to worship God and serve him. And he says, so in our churches, we struggle with it, sometimes not having the things that we need. But he tells us here that this, he knows it. He says, therefore, this is what we do. We pray and we ask the Lord. Now, I'm going to share with you how do we experience that. Now, recently, I know that we've been having some things and we needed some positions filled in our church. Does that mean that I just come up and say, hey, Phil, would you do this? There might be times I do that, but that usually is not the best approach. Unless you just need somebody like right now for a situation right now. But if it's something that's going to have some tenure behind it, and it's an important piece, you need to pray about it. Amen? Do we need to pray about those things? Because listen, it's hard to get somebody into a position, but it's a lot harder to get them out if they're messing it up. Okay? It's a lot harder because you got to be careful. Okay? Because the pastor, we are supposed to love people. We're supposed to help mold people. We're not supposed to go in if somebody's messing up that we just start beating on them and go, you're fired. We're supposed to try to work through it to the best that we can. And we're supposed to do it with mercy and some grace. Because we also know as us, as we learned last week, that even the priests and them, the pastors, we're all flawed. We're flawed men too. So we need to come about it as an approach of grace and try to work through those things. But I am very happy today because today I've gotten 4 volunteers this morning. People that I talked to about a certain volunteering in the church, and they've all accepted that task. I'm very happy about that. But I've been praying about that. Also, we've been praying about a Sunday school teacher. I've not talked to anybody really about it, but, you know, talked about some nursery stuff. But so this morning I end up getting Deb as volunteering in the in our church office, and Deb and Pam and Joda and Gloria. So I got four individuals, very, very happy about that. And that's going to strengthen our church, amen? You get four volunteers. And then so we're still praying, and even on our staff meeting had a spot that we need to fill, and I did not talk to her, but Ashley says, I will, so Ashley Fisher says, she will volunteer to become our Sunday school nursery worker. So that's good. And there's other parts that we need, but the Bible says that we are to pray over those needs that we have. Because a man can't move the hearts of people, God moves the hearts of people. And so we need to do that. So he says this. He says, so the harvest, you know what? Y'all should have said amen on that. Y'all from New Life, y'all should have said amen. We've been looking for some people to step up in some areas. Now, also, I just want to give you a quick little thing here. We also are going to be moving our worship services to Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and moving our Wednesday to Sunday night. So our Sunday night, we're going to be going to men's and women's groups and a couple of things like that. So we have three men for the men, right? We have Dan, Pastor Dan. We have our Deacon Scott. And we have our young man, where's he at? Ben. He's in the nursery. He's volunteering for the nursery. Amen. You know our nursery workers were males today? Praise the Lord. A lot of churches don't have that, but they were males today. And they both showed up. So that's a good thing. But also we have something for women. So we didn't know who was going to do women. So we have Dee and Ashley volunteered for that. And then we're looking for one more female. So if you would like to help become a leader in that area, you need to talk to Dan, or to Dee and to Ashley, and talk about how you might be on that women's team for that. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Now let me tell you how we begin to prep for that. I've been saying, Lord, our church needs to continue to grow, not just spiritually, but also physically. But you know, God always does this. Before Acts came, right? God was what? Working on his disciples, working on his leadership team before he put them into place. We're doing the same thing right now. And I begin to say, Lord, and I shared with our staff, I begin to say, Lord, I've pulled between ministries and the church, and I need to see something, Lord. Show me where I can start getting more as being more as the pastor to the church and a little bit less into the ministries. And then what I'm seeing now is that I don't have to do fundraising as much, because now there's the funds, not that we have a lot, but we have some in there that we are able to give me a breather that I can start helping more, getting back into the pastoral role and doing that better. And so doing that, I'm seeing God move. Now, how did all that work? It worked right here. It says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers to the harvest field. It's the same thing that it is in the church. So I not only have read this several times, I've also learned it, but I'm also experiencing it. We as a church are experiencing it. That's the thing. Too many churches know the scriptures, but they don't experience the churches, or experience the verses. So that's what he says. Now he says, now go. I am sending you. Now this is the hard part. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. What he's saying is this. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job to go out into the harvest. That's part of our challenge of growing up. Going out into the harvest. Not just as we spent the last 6 months growing spiritually, but going out there, being able to know how to live as a Christian, but also be strong enough to be able to share the gospel, share the stories of how you've overcome things through Jesus Christ. But he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And he says this, don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Let's look at this. Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. What he's saying, he says, you don't need anything to do this. I'm going to teach you that I am your supplier. Now later on, he sends him out again, and then he's telling him, he says, now when you go out, I want you to take these things with you. Later on in scripture, he tells him, he says, listen, he tells them, when you go out last time, he tells him, when they're meeting, he says, last time when you went out, did you not have what you needed? This time you take what you need. He was teaching them that to rely on the Holy Spirit, to rely on God, to rely on the Lord. Now listen, we've always, in this church, we have always, I truly believe, we're going into a new we're going into a new realm with God, an advanced relationship with God. I truly believe that. Because we have been living, I don't want to say paycheck to paycheck, but we've been living from donated dollar to donated dollar to donated dollar. And if you can read my journal, you would see that there would be times, Lord, I don't know where we're at, but I know this, we broke. Our Lord, we got these bills to pay, and then next thing you know, God answers a prayer. You got 1,000 come in the mail. You got somebody that calls you and wants to drop 500. You get something that comes through some kind of little foundation and gives you maybe $2,000. We've always got those smaller amounts, but it is showing us and it's teaching us where much is given, much more, where much is given, much is acquired. And that's scripture. Where much is given, much is acquired. So when God gives us, we are required. We are accountable for it. But he also says in that verse, where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. So as you become faithful, God's going to entrust more with you. Now he's going to entrust us with more funds so that we can continue to grow this church. Listen, I truly believe God wanted to grow these ministries with a lower number of people in the church to show the community and to show the church people that small churches, it isn't about the size of the church, but it is the size of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this responsibility of doing these ministries should have been in the biggest churches in town, if you look at it in the worldly way. But God doesn't look at things in the worldly way. He looks at things through His will and through His eyes, and He wants His name to be lifted up and His name to be glorified. Amen? So He chose something small. But I believe that some things are going to be changing, because now He's entrusting us with even more things. He's trusting us with more finances that we be smart in using them. But he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That means you will be attacked. You will be persecuted for what you say from time to time. And he says also, you're not going to be taking any money right now, any money bags or anything. You're going to go out there with what you have. But later on, he's going to tell them, now you've learned to know how and to rely on me. And now I want you to take those things. Now you know where your supply comes from. But he says this, whatever house you entered, first say peace to this household. And if the son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they offer, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't be moving from house to house when you enter any town, and that they welcome you, and eat the things set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them. I want to just stop for a minute, because something is coming to my mind, because it says, don't move from house to house. Me and Carla went on a scouting trip in February. We went on a scouting trip to talk to new churches, other churches, places, the best that we can about our ministries and find partnerships. Also to thank some churches for what they've done for us and those kind of things. And there's some times where we've had to stay in the hotel rooms and those kind of things. But I want to tell you, nothing was sweeter than staying in a man that we've only met. And this is how, you only can do this with the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to a church and you're getting ready and they're saying, okay, we have a place for you to stay tonight. This is, you're going to stay all night with this deacon over here. Okay. You don't even know who he is. You drive to his place, you go into his house, and you just see the awesomeness of God's hospitality. There was a room for us. It was amazing. And we built a friendship. And just, how do you build a friendship in less than 6 hours? In less than 24 hours? You can only do that when this is working. They have the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit. They testify to one another. So we left there. We also stayed in a house, and they had built a new cabin. Those are from Mississippi. We stayed there. And you know what it did with our friendship and us knowing them? I think it just made it better. It made it better. We stayed there. Now, it's kind of weird. Sometimes you're staying in other people's houses, but when you go into that person's house, it's almost like the Lord just gives you a calmness, and there's just a goodness about that. So whenever the door, when God opens the door, you walk through it, and you trust His Spirit. Because we didn't know where we were going to stay, and we didn't want to spend all that kind of money on motels and hotels, but God was opening doors, and we would be foolish to say, because I've had some people say, you know, I'd only want to stay in hotels because I just need to spend time with the Lord, and I just want to be, no, I mean, that's okay if that's who you are, but I think you miss out when you miss out on God's people. When you miss out on, they're strangers, but when you get with God with it, they're no strangers any longer. And I love God's people. There's so many of them, I just don't know, but we only have one life to live. But there's some sweet people in the state of Mississippi. There's some sweet people in the state of Alabama. There's some sweet people in all the states. because those are the ones that know Christ. And it's good when you get out there, but you got to get out there. But he goes to this place here, and he says, let's go to verse 10. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, now, and you go out to say, you go out into the streets and say, we are wiping off a witness against you, even in the dust of your town that clings to our feet, knowing this for certain, that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and then for that town. But he's saying, when you enter a town and they don't welcome you. I want to tell you that some cities and some towns are more receptive to the gospel than others. We got to know that. Because Jesus says some towns, some places are going to accept you. You find the man of peace, you go there, you don't move house to house, you go there and you share the gospel. Even Paul, when he was preaching, there were some places, man, they just received him and they didn't want him to leave. People of Ephesus were like almost weeping. They didn't want him to leave. But there are other towns that says, arrest that man. So there are certain there are some towns that will receive and there are some towns that won't. There are some towns where there's big churches and people flock to the gospel, and there's other towns, man, you can't, the salvations are thin to almost none. Now, does it make that one church bigger? Does that make that a better church before God? Does it make that small church nothing in the eyes of God? No. Sometimes people are placed in places where the gospel is just easily received, and their church grows, and it's a great blessing. Celebrate. The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We're to celebrate. But also, does it make the man of and the man of God and the church he's trying to build, just because it's small doesn't mean it's not of God. I want to tell you, we have characters in the Bible where people wouldn't listen day one. Jeremiah was one of those individuals. He was chosen by God. He did everything God called him to do. But that man couldn't. Nobody would listen to him. They wouldn't listen to him. The more he talked, they said, put him in stockades. Throw him in the well. He never says anything good. He never preaches anything good. He never prophesies anything good. Well, God told him to give him a message, and it wasn't very good because they weren't living the way they should have been, and they weren't abiding by God. Did that make Jeremiah a bad man? Did that make him a bad prophet? No. No, it didn't. There's going to be some places that are going to be easier to share the gospel than others. Those who went to Cuba was telling us that those who went to Cuba were saying when they would go down the street, they just people just plop down and start a Bible study. Somebody on the corner just start preaching. And they preach for 3 or 4 hours. And then that person gets tired and somebody else jumps up. You couldn't get that going on and you couldn't get that going on. Show me what that's going on in America. They just plop down and do a Bible study. Be there for 4 or 5 hours. Because here's what they say. When it comes to the day of the Sabbath, Sunday, they believe it's the whole day. That's pretty tough, ain't it? They believe it's the whole day of worshiping and eating and worshiping and eating and worshiping and eating. I'm not saying this bad than what we do, but I'm just saying there are some places that are different than others. And I drive into Huntington, I'm amazed that, you know, I can get any, you can get in Huntington, same thing, pretty close to Fort Wayne, you can get from the south side of Huntington to the north side of Huntington just like that, because on Sunday mornings there is about no traffic. Most of the cars are sitting at home. I know that is on First Street. I know that is all the way coming into town. There's not very much traffic coming in to town. So there are some cities that are more receptive to the gospel than others. So what does that mean? That means we need to pray more effectively. We need to pray more earnestly. And our hearts need to have a desire to see people come to Christ. He says, woe to you. Chorazin, verse 13. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethesda. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented a long ago. And so we see the difference in these four cities. Two are, they see the miracles and they don't want to believe anything. The others, Jesus says, if these two towns, these two cities saw it, they would have repented a long ago. Okay? And he says, in you, Capernaum, will you all be exalted to heaven? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Because that, remember, what we talked about this morning, It always ends with God. It always ends up with Jesus. Because if they reject you, they reject Him. Okay? So, and that's what we need to, that's what we need to continue to do. If they reject you, remember, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus who sent you to share the gospel, to share the love of God. These communities, every community needs the gospel. But every community is not going to say, come on in, we want to hear the gospel. And Huntington needs the gospel. Too many people sitting at home. This community needs the gospel. This community needs the gospel. And isn't it unique how God has set up New Life Fellowship? That we are the best, probably the best. We are the best ones suited to reach those in this community. When I say community, I'm talking about this neighborhood. We are probably the best ones suited to reach this community because we know where some of us, what we have come out of, and they're still in it. Most of them are uneducated. When I mean uneducated, I'm talking even many of them have quit school. A lot of them most of them don't have any college degree. They're trying to figure out what to use. They got $10 in their pocket, and to them, it's either do I buy a pack of cigarettes and buy a gallon of milk, or do I go out and do this and do I do that? You give somebody $10 in the middle class, they try to figure out how much they can save out of that $10, and the rich tries to figure out how they can invest that $10. The poor try to figure out how to survive with it. So we understand even just some of the basics of how they live. And so God has put us here to be able to share the gospel with those in this community because we would relate with them better than most churches in this community. Does that make sense to you? So if we are not sharing the gospel with them, then who is? So we need to learn, and we're going to be doing that here soon, but we need to learn how to go out there into the harvest, and we're going to pray that God's going to strengthen us, and we'll go out there with what we have, we're going to trust Him, and we're going to understand knowing this. If they reject us, they're not rejecting us personally. They're rejecting what we're saying. Listen, you come in with a six-pack. I'm just getting real. You come in with a six-pack. Hey, buddy, what's up? Let's sit on the porch. Most of them are going to sit there with you. But you come in with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they reject that. They're rejecting not you. They're rejecting who you're talking about. And that is Jesus Christ. You know what it's like to live? Well, you know where you came from. So you got some stuff to share with them about how you got through it. You got through it, didn't you? You got saved, didn't you? You got to believe they can get saved. That's the problem. We feel like they're not going to get saved. We got to figure out they're going to get saved. There's some people out there that's going to get saved when we go out there. We got to believe that there's going to be some people that's going to get saved. We got to believe that there's some future deacons in there out there. We're going to believe that there's some future workers and servants to the Lord out there. They're just not saved yet. But we got to start with step one. The church is going to grow, but it's not going to grow by other members coming to this church. We don't want this church growing by a bunch of other members unless they come in saying, God's called us and my family, and we want to serve. We want to serve Jesus here, and we want to serve at the crossroads with you guys. All right, those are the words we understand. Those are words we understand. And if they've come, that's great, but they're not coming. They've only come every now and then, but they're not coming. This church will grow by us going out, bringing them in. Amen? Didn't hear much on it. Going out there fishing. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay? There's a part of this church that does have a set of ministries. And to the Good Samaritan, we are the innkeeper. We are the innkeeper. People bring broken people to us. We are the innkeeper. But that's not all who we are. We are a church. We are a church, and we are to be fishers of men and women sharing the gospel. Amen? We need to be reaching out to this community. And we're going to be doing some of the door-to-door. We're going to hopefully we're going to come back with some testimonies as we get some more training and we get some more preaching and teaching, and we're going to be able to say, you know what? I attempted to share the gospel. Listen, I'm taking every opportunity to pray every time I can in public when I'm meeting in front of all kinds of people, that somebody might come up and ask me, why are you praying? Or even if somebody comes up and just says, why are you doing that? Whatever it may be, that you get an opportunity to share your story about how Jesus changed your life. Or that just say, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you. You remember when Dairy Queen was, or across the street was Hardee's? You remember that? I'm driving through there, and I just felt the Holy Spirit just say, you need to let this lady know that I love her. I get up there, and I look in the rearview mirror. There wasn't a car behind me. Awesome. There wasn't a car behind me. And that lady gave me the food, and I said, ma'am, I said, I want you to know that God loves you. And she says, are you sure? I said, yes, God loves everyone, and he thinks you're special. You just don't know you're special yet. But you're special because he loves you so much. And I gave her a card, and I gave her one of the old cards. I think it had a crossroads on it. And I said, here's you. I said, you're staying at a crossroads. Something's going on in your life. Something's going on in your life. And I'm telling you, God is there, even though you don't think that he is. And I said, what's going on in your life? I looked in the mirror. Nobody's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Right? He can set that up. And she says, I almost killed myself and committed suicide last night. I don't think there's anything to live for. And I said, listen, I want to tell you that God loves you. And I shared with her a little bit. I told her I'd pray with her. And next thing you know, I'll tell you, the devil always knows when to show up. But he goes, the next thing, car pulls up, honks the horn or whatever. I gave her a card, and if I remember right, she came into church once or twice. I don't know what happened with her. But I'm going to tell you, it's not your responsibility to always know what's going to happen, but it is our responsibility to obey the Lord when he prompts you into sharing who he is. There's a part that he's going to work on. There's a part that only, listen, there is a part that only God can do. And thank God he's the only one that can do that, because that's way beyond us when it gets into those other areas. He knows the hearts of all of his people. But folks, I can spend an hour giving you testimonies on how people have laughed because I've done this or what, and just sharing whatever the Lord has upon me with other people. And here's the thing. Are we doing that? I don't even call it chances, but are we sharing the gospel in the way? Because this is a city. Huntington needs the Lord. It doesn't need another country club. It doesn't need another church that does all these other things. It needs a church, honestly. And every city needs a church or churches. It needs people that are willing to just do the basic, share the gospel of the story of Jesus Christ. All the other programs are great, but let's get back to sharing what's the most important. What saved your life? When it comes down to it, it could have been a ministry, could have been a sports program, could have been those things. But in all those, if you got salvation, all those ministries, all those programs, somebody must have had shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this city of Huntington needs Jesus Christ. We need people who are willing to step out and to begin to share our faith in small ways, and God will begin to use it in bigger ways. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand for a moment.